This is a Power Aesthetic podcast. I am Paul Wagoner, and today we are talking, as you may have guessed from the title, about how to not be a fucking quitter. You guys will have to forgive me. I've got a little bit of a head cold this morning. I kind of beat up my immune system training super hard this week. And I was like, woke up today. I'm like, it's Friday. My body feels like I have been through a meat grinder, and then that was thrown into a trash bag, and then that was thrown under the wheels of a like 18 wheeler or something. I couldn't figure out why. And then I was like, oh yeah, my brother Matthias has been here all week training with us. So I've been doing at least two or three rounds with him, gi and no gi, every night of the week. And I am sore as a motherfucker and like a little sick and everything's falling apart. So thanks, Matt. But I wanted to do the podcast anyway because I didn't want to be a fucking quitter. So anyway, I want to jump in because I think this is maybe one of the simplest things that probably affects the most people. It certainly affected me, just not really having a strategy to not quit. And that could be quitting anything. It could be quitting on a relationship. It could be quitting a group. It could be quitting a practice, a habit, whatever it is. Most people quit for the same reason. I used to have a huge problem with this. My brother Matt used to always say, man, you have a million dollar ideas and about $10 worth of follow through. And it really affected me. You know, it always affects me when the people that I like and respect and love and look up to say that kind of stuff, you know. And that was in my 20s. And the only things I had really had a lot of follow through on was like studying and reading and playing music and stuff like that. But as far as a lot of the other things in my life, you know, I would have really good ideas and have a very difficult time sticking with them for long periods of time. Now it's something that in my crew, at least, that I'm known for, which is that if I say I'm going to do something or if I have a project, I'm going to do the project. I'm going to get through the project. So, you know, let's take a look at a few of the reasons that I think most people quit. And we're going to start there, and then we're going to dive into how to not do that shit and how to avoid the sort of common pitfalls of being a quitter. And then we're going to look at a few times where it's good in life to be a quitter. So I think that one of the number one reasons, and you know, I went online and I looked at some stuff this week, you know, of why people quit their jobs, the biggest reasons people quit or break up and everything like that. And you could kind of distill them all down to just a couple. So that's what I've tried to do here, which is the first one is that they didn't feel inspired, they didn't feel valued, and they didn't feel like they were getting enough attention. I think this carries across maybe more so now in the social media world and era than it ever has. But if you take that concept of I feel uninspired, oftentimes it's I don't feel like I'm getting much recognition. I don't feel like this is taking me to a place where I have anybody looking at me. That could be a job or a relationship or anything, really, any endeavor. But a lot of it is I wanted attention and I'm not getting the attention. Especially the idea in a relationship of feeling undervalued or whatever. But also, man, I gotta say, I think a lot of people start doing shit these days for like whatever the hell you want to call it, clout, attention, the likes. You know, I wonder sometimes how many people would be lifting weights if Instagram didn't exist. I really do. I think a lot of people these days get into stuff by saying, man, if I get into this, I'm going to be able to display this. And I think that at the very outset of this kind of stuff, here's a good way to not quit. Don't get into shit that you're only getting into because you think that people are going to think it's cool or that you're going to get attention for it. Get into shit that you think you will really enjoy, that you think will really make you a better human being, that you think will be fulfilling to you. You know, and the same goes, of course, everybody in interpersonal relationships, they want attention. Everybody wants to feel valued. Well, don't get into them because you want this other person to kind of create this feedback for you of constant attention and value. You have to create your own value in this world. And if you're with someone who just like chronically doesn't pay attention to you, then yeah, fuck that person. You know what I mean? Like, get out of that relationship. But at the same time, you can't get into relationships for other people to validate you and fulfill every like need for you. You have to be able to fulfill a lot of those needs for yourself. So don't jump into relationships where you're like, man, this person's going to give me all the attention and validation that I so desperately crave in this world, because chances are that's not exactly the way that it's going to happen. And you're going to wind up quitting on the relationship and saying, well, I just didn't feel valued, I felt undervalued, where some of it may have been that you didn't bring a lot of value to the table anyway. And I hate to say it, but a lot of this kind of shit when it comes to quitting and life in general, you have to start to develop a semi-ruthless gaze inward. You can have mercy for yourself after you make these assessments, but when you are doing self-assessment, you kind of have to have a scalpel and say, this won't hurt much. You know, and really start cutting into stuff and saying, why do I actually do this? And you really have to get rid of a lot of your own bullshit in order to make any of these self-assessments. You have to not listen to your own bullshit and cut through. So, you know, don't get into stuff because you want attention. You know, and then number two is people feel overwhelmed. This one is a trickier one because oftentimes with a job or with, I don't know, a hobby, you know, for me, everything always comes back. I'm sorry. Everything always comes back to jujitsu and weightlifting for me, but that's just the filter I see the world through. I think it's a pretty good one, but you know, I had somebody say to me, you know, last week we were talking about how do you balance, you know, it's the constant question. How do you balance jujitsu and weightlifting? And the answer is you choose one that's a priority and then the other one has to inform it. You know, I used to bench press over 400 pounds. That was awesome. It felt really fucking cool. But I realized standing around a fire one evening that I could bench press over 400 pounds and I was creeping up on a 500 pound squat and everybody at the fire could kick my ass. You know, I've talked about this before, but I really got to this point where I was like, man, this is really cool. But, you know, my numbers are never going to be good enough at this point in life to be a competitive powerlifter. I don't really want to be a competitive powerlifter. So it's a hobby. And wouldn't I rather have the hobby of strangling people than the hobby of lifting heavy stuff? But I can still lift, you know, kind of heavy stuff. So the point is that you get overwhelmed because often you have chosen too many things in your life to try to make a priority, and this cannot be done. If you are prospecting for a motorcycle club, like a 1%er club or something like that, you're not going to have time for a lot of other shit. You have to know going into something that is a major undertaking that it's going to deprioritize a lot of other stuff in your life, even if only temporarily. If you're competing for something, if you're getting ready for a competition, the people in your life have to know you well enough or whatever to know that that's going to be a time of your life where other things are going to have to get turned down if you're serious about it. If you're not serious about it and you're competing just for fun, that's okay too. But if you're someone serious and you take it seriously, then you're in comp mode, you know? And when you're in comp mode, you have to turn down other shit. You can't be out like partying all the time. You have to make decisions. So when you choose to do things, understand that everything that you choose to do is going to come at the sacrifice. And I've said this before, every single choice you make in this life, I don't give a fuck if it's to run this red light. Every single thing that you choose is a sacrifice of every single other thing you didn't choose in that moment. So, you know, picking up a new hobby is going to require a sacrifice of time. You spend the time, you do the thing that you wanted to do. So with relationships, if you get a fucking girlfriend, what's the number one thing all your friends say when you get a girlfriend, right? Oh, see you later. Because they know that you are going to spend some time there that was generally maybe reserved more for them. More on that in another podcast probably, because that's a whole other thing. But, you know, whatever you pick up, whatever you decide that you're gonna do, you have to understand at the outset that, yeah, if you try to prioritize a shitload of stuff in your life, you're not going to be able to. Not everything can be immovable. Not everything is a non-negotiable, which means some of that shit is going to have to get turned down. And if you're not capable of doing that or you didn't understand that going in, you're probably going to quit because you're going to get overwhelmed and you're going to start hand flapping and being like, oh, but I'm so overwhelmed. And it's like, well, you chose it. You chose it. So choose and stick with your choices. Another one is, and this is, God, this is probably the biggest one and maybe the most annoying one. Lack of results. I didn't see the results I wanted to. This one breaks down into sort of a multi-angled thing, because there's a lot of reasons why people do stuff and they don't see results. One is, well, you've done it for four goddamn weeks. I just wasn't, you know, I didn't see the body changes that I wanted to, and I dieted my ass off for 3 hours. Well, that is just not how it fucking works, Cupcake. I'm sorry that it's a mean world out there, and life's not fair, and, you know, you get what you put in. You know, and this is one of the things that I've said before that I love, I absolutely love about weight training, diet, all the rest of that stuff, fitness in general. It is non-egalitarian. It does not give a shit about your feelings. You know, you are demonstrably better than someone who does not put in the work when you put in the work, because you can just look. You know, it's very apparent who is serious in the gym and who is not serious. You can see it in the strength gains that they have, the physical gains that they have, whatever it is. And not everyone can have it. If you can have it, you can have it. In other words, if you did what it took to get it, you've got it. If you didn't, you don't. And nothing until people start injecting fucking CRISPR into their veins and looking like a blue bull or whatever the hell those things are, where they're just like the crazy muscle monster animals that walk around, which I'm sure is a development of the future, and then everyone will be able to have it. But until then, it takes work. So when you say you weren't getting the results, either here's what happened. Either you don't get immediate results and you're too much of a pussy to stick it out and think long term and get those results. Number two is, maybe you weren't putting it in like you thought you were. Maybe you weren't working as hard as you thought you were. Sometimes it's good to compare yourself to other people. You know, you always see this shit. I think there's a certain toxicity of positivity on Instagram, because I think sometimes people pay attention to the things that they see on the internet, and they start to hear them so many times from so many influencers who are, you know, rise and grind, hustle and shine, you know, be grateful, you know, gratitude, self-made, lone wolf, whatever the fuck. And they start to believe this dog shit. It's good to compare yourself to other people. You know, not all the time, and not in a self-destroying way, but in a way to get inspiration. It's good to compare yourself to your legends, you know, to your heroes, and say, man, I'm going to emulate that, and I want to be like that, and I can watch how hard this person worked, and I want to work that hard. Or even to go work out with some of your friends who train really hard and be like, damn, I thought I was training hard. This dude fucking trains hard. You know, and he'll probably tell you, man, there's dudes I work out with who make my shit look like a cakewalk. So understand that results require work. They require time, and they require consistency. And if you're not willing to put those things in, I'm sorry to say, another like hard truth here, but you don't deserve it. You don't deserve the results. If you're not consistent over a long period of time with intense, focused work, you don't deserve to have results. You deserve to have what everybody else has, which is average shit. You deserve to have mediocrity. So don't be mediocre, then you won't get mediocre results. Two last things. One is self-sabotage. Self-sabotage comes in a lot of different ways, but it comes largely from like, I can't, and from a victim mindset, which are both kind of the same thing. You have to stop thinking in terms of outs. You can't give yourself an out. This is the like number one self-sabotage, is people always give themselves an out. You know, you hear this in competition a lot. I've been guilty of it in a million different areas. There's absolutely no doubt I've been guilty of this. But you give yourself an out before, where you'll be like, well, I'm going to do this, but if I can't do this, then it's okay because this. That's a shit way of thinking about stuff. It's a shit way of approaching everything. You should approach everything saying, I'm going to give this everything that I've got, and I'm going to succeed. And if I don't immediately succeed, I'm going to figure out another way, and I'm going to succeed that way until I win. You know, I'm going to keep trying till I win. The whole mindset of being a victim, you know, you'll hear people say, well, I wasn't able to do this because, I wasn't able to do that because, you know, this person had it out for me at my job, or I wasn't able to do this because some, you know, external thing kept me from doing it. It's like, man, there's definitely external shit sometimes that'll keep you from, you know, momentarily achieving your goals. But if you've always got a reason why something didn't pan out, I guarantee you I know what the real reason is. It's you. 100%. It's you. You know, it'll be funny. You'll be listening to somebody talk about their past relationships and how shitty they were and how shitty the people in them were. And you know, halfway through these conversations, you'll be like, man, I think it's you. I think you could be the common denominator here in all these stories of these things that didn't work out. Either you were making bad decisions or whatever. Point is you can't go into anything with a victim mindset, with an excuse, with an out, and expect anything other than another story about a reason why you didn't succeed. So unless you want your whole life story to be, you know, stories of failure and a reason why starring fucking you, then it's imperative that you change this and you stop giving yourself excuses, stop giving yourself an out before you've even started. The final one is that there's something actively pulling you away. This is one that you will see in relationships. It's one you'll see in groups. It's one you'll see in habits. Every time I hear somebody's girlfriend or boyfriend, whatever, this is an all-inclusive fucking hate statement. Anytime I hear somebody's boyfriend or girlfriend say, you spend too much time at the gym, you don't spend it. Man, I am always filled with this feeling of such loathing, because you will actually see people look at those close to them who are doing something that's ultimately good for them and try to pull them away from it by guilting them to stay at home and like watch Netflix or whatever the hell. It's truly foul. It's vile. You'll see this in a lot of different areas too. And it always comes from the other person's sense of damaged whatever. It comes from the other person, you know, experiencing like that number one thing we talked about. Oh, I'm not getting enough attention. This other thing that you're doing is getting too much of your attention. That's something that you probably are going to have to like set really, really hard parameters on. But oftentimes people don't want to set the parameters. They're happy to have something taking them away because they're like, oh, well, I was going to go out and do this, you know, but it was me and my girl's 3.5 month, you know, anniversary, my queen, my goddess. I had to go wash my fucking goddess's feet or whatever the fuck I had to do. Or, you know, it could be a lot of other things. It's not always a relationship. It could be something else, but it's something else that's a draw on the time that you use as a reason why you're not doing the thing that you said you were going to do. Man, we've all got busy lives. We've all got shit going on. And I hate people who are having a pissing contest. I shouldn't say I hate people who are having a pissing contest. I dislike when people have pissing contests about who's busier. But I really dislike it when people devalue other people's time as though anyone has more than 24 hours in a day, right? We've all got the same amount of time. You know, one of my... a guy I know who I respect, a guy named Keith. Shout out to Killer Keith from down at American Combat Club in Florida. You know, he had made an Instagram post about this the other day, you know, because he's like, man, it always blows my mind when people tell me they don't have enough time. Because here's a guy, Keith, who, you know, I don't know the guy really well, but he's a purple belt world champion in jiu-jitsu. He's a state record holding power lifter. The fact that you can even be a power lifter at a competitive level and be training at that high of a level and competing that high of a level in jiu-jitsu by itself blows my fucking mind. I think he's also like my age or a year or two older than me. You know, the guy's just an impressive dude. He's an inspiring dude. And, you know, he works as a trainer. He does all this other stuff. And it seems like a guy who has a really, really full life, and he makes time for the stuff that he wants to do. And I'm always inspired, and I always give respect to those people because they're not taking this idea of, well, I don't have enough time as they're out. They know that if they want to do something, they'll make the time because they know that they'll sacrifice the other shit to make the time. So it's not that you don't have time for stuff. It's that one of the things that you decided to make time for is actively pulling you away from the other things. And you've just got to be aware of that and say, okay, fuck it. I'm saying with my actions that this other thing is more important than this other thing that I said that I wanted to do. You just have to be honest with yourself. It's not necessarily the end of the world, but if you say that you're going to do something and you want to do it and stuff is pulling you away and you're quitting it, even though you actively in your mind want to do it, this is the problem. You know, and so it's like almost nobody quits something because they go, oh, well, I wanted something more challenging. You know, maybe this will happen in the job world or something like that. But almost nobody takes something on and goes, okay, well, you know, I this just wasn't hard enough. I wanted to do something harder, and drops it to go do something harder. Like, that would be a bitchin' reason maybe to stop doing something. But there are times, and this is going to be the quick interlude between, you know, being a quitter, things to quit, and then how to not be a quitter. So I'm going to try to keep it tight. But there are times when to be a quitter. There are broken relationships that the foundation of them is so fucked up that even if you've taken the time, you've worked on it as hard as you can, you've put in time over time to try to fix it, and it's still fucked up, bust it. You know, get out of it. And this holds true for friendships too. It's like people think that you're a sociopath or something when you say, cut your friends off, cut them loose. It doesn't mean at the first sign of trouble, cut them off. It means if this is a recurring theme that happens over and over and over and over and over, and no matter what you try to do and how honestly you've tried to work on this, it's still the same way, that's a time drain. So, you know, quit shitty relationships and quit shitty time drains. There's tons of stuff in your life that's taking up a lot of your time. Evaluate it all. This is a huge cliche, but it's like the only finite resource that you've got that you can never, ever get more of. Man, I'll blow $1,000 and be like, I can go get another $1,000. No problem. Like, give me a couple hours. I'll go get another $1,000. But time is finite. You cannot ever get more of it, period, end of conversation. So evaluate the shit you're spending your time on and be like, man, do I really want to be spending 6 hours playing fucking video games a week? You know, if you do, okay, fine, move on to the next thing. Maybe you're like, hey, I really like doing this. It's one of the only things that I do for like this kind of entertainment, whatever. That's fine. You know, but if you're also watching 10 hours of TV or whatever, you're like, that's 16 hours, you know, however, whatever it is, you know, how much time do you spend mindlessly scrolling Instagram, looking at motorcycles and jiu-jitsu videos? And I'm totally not talking about myself here. You know, but like, I know I waste time. So I got to evaluate that shit, and I have to try to be hard on myself to make sure that I'm not blowing all the time that I've got doing shit that's a waste of my fucking time when I said I wanted to do this other stuff, or when I could be spending that time with my friends or working on a skill or hanging out with my old lady, whatever. Bad habits and compulsion, it's the same thing. You've got to constantly evaluate your habits and say, is this something that I want in my life? These are good times to be a quitter. It's good to quit fucking binge drinking all the time. It's good to quit smoking cigarettes. It's good to quit doing heroin. Maybe. Depends. You know, how old are you? Are you like in your 70s? Fucking slam that shit, you know? But it's like you got to choose what you're going to do. You got to know why you're doing what you're doing. And you have to be able to evaluate compulsions, time drains, and shitty relationships, because those will take a lot of your time. All right, now we're going to jump in. This is going to be pretty tight here. We're up on 23 minutes, so I'm going to try to run through this. How to set unshakable practices and not be a goddamn quitter. The first thing is to try to train yourself to think long term. And what I mean by this is everybody starts out life with the time preference of, okay, you can have 2 cookies now or 3 cookies later. Everybody starts out as a child. Your frontal cortex or whatever the hell it is not developed enough, and it goes, well, just give me it now. And some people go through their whole lives maintaining that kind of time preference of being like, I'll take the 2 now. I don't want the 4 later or the 400 later. I want the 2 now. Give it up. And you cannot go through your life thinking this way. You can, and you actually will probably have a shitload of fun for a while. But ultimately, you will probably die in a ditch somewhere, because if every time something cropped up that I wanted in the short term or that my desire switch was firing off for, I would be absolutely dead in a ditch from drugs, drinking, and like AIDS. You know what I mean? Like, these are the things that life shows you that you're making poor decisions with, right? It's not a healthy way to live your life, and it's not particularly over time a fulfilling way to live your life. You have to overcome that side of your mind that just wants short term. Chris Howder, who's one of the first 12 black belts in the U.S., American black belts, they call him the Dirty Dozen. He says and has an amazing quote that I try to think of anytime I think about quitting. especially jiu-jitsu. When I look at my fucked up fingers and I realize I'm only a purple belt and I'm already going on 40 and I've got a long road ahead of me to that black belt. He said, look, you can be anywhere doing anything you want in 9 years, 10 years, whatever. You could be doing anything. Why not be a black belt too? All you have to do is not quit. And I love that. And I that's a dude I don't know that I wish I knew, because he just seems like such a radical guy. Train yourself to think long term. Stop thinking short term. Think, what will I be doing if in 5 years I keep doing this thing? What will that look like? Second is, be a fucking brute. Just be an absolute brute. Sometimes you have to be ruthless and harsh. You know, my brothers and I, our adopted family words, and I don't mean our adopted family, I mean the family words that our family have adopted, is Wir machen den Weg, which is German, and it means we make the way. I love saying this to myself anytime I'm thinking about quitting, anytime I'm having a problem and there's obstacles and everything. It's like, well, you don't have the choice to quit. Oh, there's mountains there? Well, you got to blast a road through them. It doesn't matter if there's no way. If someone goes, oh, there's no way this is going to happen. It's like, well, bitch, I'll make a way. I'll figure it out. I will put my fucking head to that brick and beat it into that brick as many times as I need to either get through it or to step back and go, oh shit, I can just step around this. Sometimes I take the beat my head into an approach and realize, oh, there was a doorway over there. I just didn't see it. But you have to be a brute. You have to develop this brutish fucking thug mindset sometimes toward yourself, where you're like, God, I just don't know if I can do this. I just don't know. And you have to develop that inner mindset, that inner bully that's like, shut up. You're going to do this. Oh, you're sore. You're tired. Oh, does baby need its boo-boo kiss? It's like, man, you got to develop that inner bully, that backwards hat, stuff your lower self in a locker bully and be like, dude, shut up. Get off your fucking ass. Get up and go. Go do the run. Go to work. Work on the relationship. Whatever it is, you've got to just go do it. Don't be a baby and crush through. Sometimes that helps me out. Sometimes it's enough. The other one is to be solution-minded. You know, you've got to stop being problem. This is another business cliche. I've heard this a million times on a million conference calls. That's great and everything, John, but we're trying to be solution-minded here, not problem-minded. Like, they say it like they're the first people to have ever said it. Like, they're saying some brilliant Mark Twain shit. But you just have to, it is good advice, though. You have to think about solutions and not the problem. You can't dwell on the problem. If you start thinking about problems, you spiral out and you'll stay focused on your problems all day long. You have to, again, it's like jiu-jitsu. If I'm in bottom side control getting smashed by a dude who's 220 pounds, I'm not just going to sit there and go and think to myself how bad it sucks, right? If I just sit there thinking about how bad it sucks, it's going to keep sucking. I have to start to fucking bridge and frame and make space and all the rest of that kind of stuff. And with these little adjustments, because I'm thinking about solutions, those little adjustments, they make a huge difference. And if I can make just this one tiny adjustment, all of a sudden the pressure is decreased and I can start to think about bigger, better solutions. Then I can reverse it on that son of a bitch and I can choke him. You've got to understand how results and growth happens. It's when you think you're getting worse sometimes that you're getting better. When you're learning how to play the guitar, they say when you start to realize how bad you are is when you're getting better, because you didn't even know enough to know how much you sucked right when you started. So sometimes when you think you're getting worse, you're getting better. A plateau is not necessarily a plateau, you know, and sometimes those dips in performance are indicative. I mean, look at the stock market. Look at Bitcoin. Everybody's panicking, right? Oh my God, Bitcoin's down to 33,000, whatever it is today. Things happen in spikes, peaks and valleys, man. Watch any stock that's gone up over the last like 5 years. It's going to go right up high, bam, down low, up high, down low, up high, down low. But as long as the overall is higher than where it started, that is something that is experiencing increase. It's the same for you. Stop thinking that results are going to be like beginner results over and over and over and over. You know, it's like drug users. They're constantly chasing that first high, but you're never going to experience that again. You're going to experience results in a slower way that takes more work to get smaller increments, right? When you were lifting weights, like for the first year, you get these huge gains. But it took me like to get from a 365 bench press to 405. It took me like, I don't know, I'm a hobbyist, but it took me like 2 years, you know? So you experience smaller increments But that doesn't mean that you're not still getting results. So try to understand that nothing good happens over a short period of time. Okay, John? Nothing good happens over a short period of time. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. You've never heard that before. Nobody's ever said that. And then one of the last things that I try to do, this is especially true with relationships and stuff, but it works for everything, is I try to imagine my life with the thing that I want or without the thing I want. Like imagining my life as a black belt, what does that look like to me? Or imagining my life without jujitsu in it at all. And I really try to visualize this and think about it and see what it looks like. And this is part of remembering your why. You have to remember your why. You know, Nietzsche, and I know I've said this quote a billion times, but Nietzsche said, "He who has a why to live can endure almost any how." But man, that quote inspires me like every fucking day. As long as I can keep my mind on the why, then it's really easy to endure the how. I know why. I know why I'm doing most of the stuff in my life. I know why I'm working on this or that. I know why I'm in my club. I know why I'm training jiu-jitsu. If you have a really powerful why, there's almost no how that's going to beat you down, and there's almost nothing that's going to be able to pull you away from that, because you have rooted that why so strongly in your mind that it has basically become a deity enthroned in a temple, which is your life. And you go and you pay respect and you make sacrifices to that God every single day, because that is what the things that we have chosen to place at the center of our lives are. They are our gods, and they must be worshipped as such, and they must be paid and sacrificed to with blood and sweat and time and hard work and consistency. And then when we do those things, God, that God that we have chosen to sacrifice to, it grants us favors. It opens the entire world to us. And God hates a fucking quitter. So don't be a quitter. I hope this helps, guys. Let's all get out there and get after what it is that we wanted to get after. And let's keep those gods that we've chosen, that pantheon of gods that we've chosen, right there at the center of our lives. Let's be good worshipers. Have a solid day, guys. If you like this, please share it. Please come on as a monthly supporter, or, you know, whatever you want to do. Keep listening to the podcast. I appreciate you guys. Have a killer day.